Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi guys, welcome back to High Priestess. I'm Erin.
And I'm Persephone.
And... oh, I thought we were getting a hate comment, but we're not. Okay, forget it. I just got a notification. I'm kind of living in fear.
Same, the incel army
of the men that are going to come and attack me.
It's real, though.
It's like a bit too real.
I'm happy we're growing, but with every comment, I mean, I get shivers down my spine. My butt cheeks are clenching.
Yeah, I didn't expect to start the podcast like this, but maybe we will. It's fucking real. Like, it's actually not a joke. Like, I completely get, I mean, I've always got it, but now I really see why influencers are like, you need to put more restrictions
Absolutely.
On comments and holding people accountable for what they say, because it's insane. So I've got a man coming to rape me tonight. I've got a man coming to shoot me in the head tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm an absolute fucking joke. My parents hate me.
We're fucking ugly.
I need to go and die.
Also, it's like, oh my god, people actually do hate women. I thought they didn't anymore. I didn't get the memo. People actually physically hate women.
Yeah.
If a woman says anything, there's 10 men. You're a fucking liar. Women don't get raped. They lie about it. It's like, oh my goodness.
Well, it's bizarre to be attacked for saying that rape is bad.
That's the bottom line, isn't it? If you read the post that is doing ever so well...
it's running a marathon as we speak.
For each amazing reshare that post gets, that's reaching kind of their 300 followers, three of which are their weird people in their class at school who are fucking incels, racist incels.
I think the main problem that I'm having with it is that I'm constantly... like, I try and get rid of it within kind of 10 seconds. And most of the time I do, unless they come in kind of overnight and then I wake up to them and I'm like, right, straight on my phone. Like, Jack this morning was like, I literally... opened my eyes, went straight to my phone to check, and they were all there. Immediately screenshotted them.
Me straight to Animal Crossing.
Yeah, literally. And he was like, you need to have like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fine, whatever, put it down. Like, blocked one, but I knew there were more, so I blocked one, put my phone down. I was like, yep, fine, okay. 2 minutes later, I was like, I actually can't. I don't know what you want me to do, just sit here and stare into space while the time is ticking until I can get back and block them all. Because what bothers me is that I know our page isn't a safe space. We're not advocates for any Instagram page being a safe space. For who? Like, who was that for? But I don't love that there are literally women who have been raped now having to see men be like, yeah, fuck you, in the comments. It's so gross.
I also feel bad that, because you wake up earlier than me, so then you get, by the time I wake up, I'm like, oh, what a lovely morning,
everything's spick and span.
Little do I know Erin has spent the entire morning,
I've been up cleaning all night.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, god, we just got so much love overnight, like, so stunning. Yeah. What a stunning space we've created. Little do I know Erin's been like clearing it up, like, tidy it before she wakes up, like, tidy it before she sees it, and you've gone through a big nightmare.
There's a lot. My camera roll is full.
I know, there was one morning where I saw it and I thought, these people need to get away from my fucking page.
You know what's a shame, actually? Last night was the first time I had to do this. Someone had liked, this girl had liked one of their comments, one of the men's comments, like attacking women. And I clicked on her because I was looking, I blocked him and then I was looking to see who, because when you block them, it deletes the comment too. So it's all nice for you guys when you see it.
Two in one.
Yeah, exactly.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly. And so I clicked to see who had liked it, so that I'm going to get rid of him as well. Fuck park there. And then I clicked and it was a woman and she follows us. And I was like, well, you're blocked as well, lady. You don't get to be here. Why? I don't want you here.
Well, completely.
Harassing my girls. Absolutely not. Get out of town.
I think that's the thing. It's like, actually, you don't get this access to this incredible platform for free. And you're going to come in and say, sorry, but we don't believe any women that have been sexually assaulted. Then you can fucking leave.
I just don't love that you lot are participating so sweetly in something that I think is so pure. And then lo and behold, the men are out to get you. But yeah. So anyway, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How is everyone? Rise and shine. It's a lovely day on over at Ikamarama and Laputa. We're having great days.
Exactly, yeah.
But also,
maybe you should announce on the podcast your gifts, because we got in big trouble.
Oh yeah, we got in trouble because we didn't announce what the big present was that I got over straight from Erin. On she came over to Laputa, gave me a present, and it was, we put it on the story so you may have already seen it, it was an incredible sort of fortune telling tarot set, and it was so stunning. Really, it's in my house, it's right next to my incense.
Oh, your incense also gifted by me, with a kind of fridge and a mixer.
Also, Erin, yeah, she says, oh, I've got one special gift for you. Turns out it was like 10. It was honestly, she came with a rucksack full of gifts.
Just dumped out my pockets and your entrance.
Honestly, my house is just filled with gifts that Erin gave me.
It looks good.
The island's coming along.
Well, thanks for being here anyway, guys.
Thanks. We're going to talk about body image today.
Something I wanted to start off by talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this morning I was listening to, I mean, it's definitely something that everyone else has already heard of and I'd never found it before. It's a podcast called, let me just check. Just start my podcast by recommending somebody else's podcast. It's called Black Gals Live In. So good. Like, I actually fell in love.
Oh, wow. Okay. I have to listen.
It was just, I love their dynamic. And one of them, I literally don't even know their names. I literally just found them this morning, so I'm so sorry. Let me find their names. Jazz and Vic. And one of them, I don't know which one because I don't know them yet, but I'm already in love. One of them said, blah, 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 something is Nang. And I was like, oh my God. You didn't just say Nang. Like, I'm obsessed. I haven't heard that word in like a decade.
Love it.
You should go and listen. 100%. They're really funny.
Great recommendation. Love a recommendation. Love to divert our traffic somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Within the first 5 minutes. It's like, oh, you were here? No, you should probably go somewhere else. But I was listening to an episode where they were talking about blackfishing, and something really interesting that they were kind of touching on was Kylie Jenner, just kind of like the standards of body image, etc., etc., along with blackfishing. They were saying how interesting that when Kylie Jenner, did you remember this, when she like got her lip fillers dissolved or whatever, and they were saying like you can see it moving away from the current Instagram body that we have at the moment, which obviously is massively commodifying black bodies, black women, which is then validated by the eyes and desire of black men, amplified by the pockets and the financial security of the white men, and then further confirmed by the participation and like never-ending doom of all women who comply with it. And they made a really interesting point about, well, one of them had a theory that we're going to move away from the Instagram body and move into a more natural looking body, as in we're going to move away from, I think they said, man-made, and that is going to die out over the next 2 years, was their theory. I thought that would be quite interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, by 2022, your BBL is going to be extracted. I don't know how you can get rid of it. I'm assuming it gets extracted. I don't know. Do they cut it out? I don't know.
I have no idea. I'll phone my plastic surgeon. I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember thinking back when Kylie Jenner got her lip fillers dissolved, like, oh, this could be quite a moment. Because if she would have done that for like 6 months, 100%, we move on to something else. Do you get what I mean? Like, people would have dissolved their lip fillers for sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that even Kylie Jenner, I actually really genuinely believe, doesn't understand the weight that she has, in that she sets, it's not just about her, she's such a trendsetter. It's like, no, she really largely informs what the rest of the world does,
or what they see as attractive, see it as the ideal.
Well, in the way that she said, oh, who would even use Snapchat anymore, and their stocks like collapsed.
Yeah, that's crazy. You have the power to not only dissolve your lip fillers, but literally dissolve tech, like a huge tech company,
the economy. How insane. I thought that was a really interesting combo they were having, and it was kind of something that I was definitely thinking we were going to bring up in this episode anyway.
Absolutely love it. I guess, I mean, influencers are 100% coming up. Instagram, fucking social media, classic, classic, classic. It's just classic chat, guys. It's all going to come up.
Can I bring up a point that one of you had, and actually quite a few of you were kind of echoing it, but I thought, I mean, there was like, of the ones that I saw, there were so many people saying this same thing, which I thought was, I would have thought was quite a niche experience, but I thought it was really interesting how many people could relate. My dad calling me fat and ugly growing up shaped me into having low body image.
Parents came up a lot.
I thought it was specifically interesting. Someone else said, my dad once said to me, there's no middle with you. You're always too fat or too thin. And it stuck. Loads of people saying, my dad always used to comment on my weight. My dad used to say this about me. My dad said that. It's like, what the fuck?
So interesting from the dad. Yeah, so interesting from the dad. Because often a common thing that we received was kind of mothers passing that on to the daughter. And I think that makes sense.
Which I definitely think we should talk about as well.
Absolutely. Because that makes sense. Because women have internalized a load of shit about their own bodies. And of course, they see a younger version of themselves. And they're kind of almost trying to protect them from growing up with a non-ideal body. But also, they're pushing on essentially eating disorders and like diet culture onto their child. So it's so interesting from the dad.
Well, why are people's dads commenting on their body?
Because female bodies are sexualized.
And I wonder if there's almost a part of it of like your family being respectable. So in the same way they want their son to be like a doctor.
Yeah, they want their daughter to be beautiful.
Yeah, they want their daughter to be beautiful, quote unquote beautiful. I also think there's something specific about often a daughter's desire to please her dad.
Oh my god, totally. Yeah.
And impress their dad and like and make their dad proud and like do enough for their dad. Because I think women grow up to put a man's opinion on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And maybe the purest form of that is your dad's opinion.
Yeah, because just male approval is seen as the highest approval. If we could get a big CEO man to put a stamp on higher priestesses, this is worthy, then amazing, it definitely is then. But when it's just two girls thinking, this is cool, or a girl about her own body thinking, okay, I'm happy with this, until the big man of the family comes and says, yeah, you look good. It's not confirmed yet, it's not canon.
Yeah, completely. Completely that. It's the same thing as One Direction not being, no one's taken seriously if it's a big group of girls who are backing them. But in the same way, I mean, I have my own family dynamics, but I would 100% want my dad's verdict over my mum's. I mean, that is, it was a long story, but I definitely have had since I was a child a way stronger desire to please my dad.
It's definitely more specific, isn't it? Because your mum's approval is almost just, my mum's approval is almost just an extension of myself. Like, she kind of would approve.
It's a given.
She would approve of the things I would approve of, usually.
Mm.
But my dad is kind of like, it comes from a different angle. It comes from almost like, it does almost seem more authoritative.
It comes from the men, it comes from a male's angle. Yeah.
So interesting.
I think it really is that simple. Obviously, everyone has their own relationship with their parents. I mean, I think my dad, I'm not getting into it, but my mum, I wouldn't necessarily trust her judgment as much on things anyway. I'll leave it there. But I definitely have always craved my dad's approval about everything. Maybe actually not so much about my looks, but definitely about like my intelligence and my work and the things that I produce.
Your worth, essentially. How much you are worth.
I mean, maybe I was just lucky to never have my dad fucking comment on my body.
Yeah, it's a really specific thing that it's kind of breeding within you. Like, your opinion of your body after that is going to be seen as a performance for the male gaze. It can't not be. If your dad feels that he can comment in a kind of, not in a, we're worried about you sort of way, which...
it's masked as that, yeah.
Often I've seen that kind of, we're worried about you. Yeah, it's that kind of discourse of like, we're concerned, we're just raising this, almost like an intervention that's just masked as... we want you smaller, smaller, less, less. Like, just be more makeup. Just hide yourself more. Be less. Speak less. Be thinner.
Don't embarrass me.
Yeah, don't mortify me, please. You fucking idiot. But if it's coming from your dad in that way, there is a really specific thing of like, then I know that my body is a performance for the male gaze. It cannot exist for me if this man, who I'm supposed to respect, is commenting on it. In that entitlement to female bodies. There's just a male entitlement to women's bodies.
And I'm sure he's no George Clooney.
George Clooney's funny.
I mean, dad bod, where does that come from? Like, I'm sure he's, I mean, no, I'm sure your dads are all lovely young men. Well, but I'm sure they're not the fucking hot stuff.
George Clooney is a funny one. Like, I haven't thought about George Clooney in quite a while. I don't think about him often.
George Clooney.
I don't think I've thought about him since, like, Gravity with Sandra Bullock.
Oh my God, yeah, with Sandra Bullock.
Where he kind of dies at the beginning, spoiler, and then never to be seen again, I think. He's just sort of like, what?
Oh, but I bet they sold it as a George Clooney film.
Yeah, they do. And he just kind of floats into space.
But literally the opening scene is him flowing away into the distance like fucking Aunt Marge.
It's so strange. He's just like going, he's like talking like, I'm going out to space now, Sandra. It's like, I don't get this movie.
She's like, sorry, you're going to have to carry the film from here, Sandra. She's like, shit, I needed a white male to sell this film.
It's like, now it's a woman's movie. Fuck, no one's going to watch it.
Shit. Take it away.
Oh, I'm taking it away.
Yeah.
So take it away, Ernie.
I feel like I'm fucking chit-chat, shit-chat. Like, I don't stop talking shit.
This is just a shit-talking podcast now, I think. So body image, body image, body image.
What are body image, schmoddy image. You can tell we've just had a 5-minute break.
Body image, schmoddy image. This is what happens when we take a break. We're like, we come back. I'm like, I've got something to say. And I come back with body image, schmoddy image. Useless. But I want to kind of talk about body neutrality and body positivity, because that's a big topic. And I actually have many thoughts on this, because we did have an episode on body image before that OG listeners will recall.
You may have noticed it is now nowhere to be seen.
Nowhere to be seen. I'm sorry, guys. The pilot season has been cut. Canceled.
It's been cancelled. Pilot season is over, party.
Cancel culture is real and we've cancelled the first season. But you've got this amazing season and we're going to keep it going. So we did speak in depth about our own histories with body image, so if you're an OG listener you will remember, but I was talking a bit, I remember, about the complications that I feel personally with like body positivity and body neutrality, and how I think we should all strive for body neutrality, which I completely think we should. I was almost thinking about it before we started recording about what it's so fucking arbitrary that we should feel pressure to feel positive about our bodies, when it's like, I would never have like brain positivity. Like, I feel so positive about my brain. If you think that
you do feel positive about your brain though, and so do I.
Absolutely, but I don't feel any pressure to feel actively positive about my brain. Like, if I feel stupid, that's it. If I feel like I feel ugly, that should just be it. It shouldn't be I feel body negative as a whole. Like, it should just be, it changes on a daily basis. It's like a fluid relationship.
I was just gonna say the stat for how many of them said that their body image changed.
Yeah, I love it.
So 77% of you said that your body image is changing. Only 23% said that their body image was stable.
Yeah, I think if it is stable, I mean, I hate that for you.
Oh, I don't. Why do you hate it?
Imagine if it's stably bad.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't what I imagined. Yeah, okay, well, that's not good, is it?
I'm like, well, that's rock bottom.
Yeah, that's not good. Stably bad.
Obviously, if you want it to be stable, good. But also, I think everything is changing, and it's really unrealistic to be like, my relationship with anything is just purely unchanging.
Can you name anything in your life experience that your relationship with is stable?
Can I name one element that's stable?
Is there anything in our lives that's stable?
I wouldn't want anything to be stable. And by stable, I mean unchanging. My relationship with my dog is like very stable. Like, I know he's there every day, but then also it's like, he's gonna die one day, touch all the wood in the world.
I was gonna say, I didn't wanna say it, but when Otto dies, well, maybe then it's more about, is your relationship with your body more stable or more unstable?
Healthy or unhealthy, almost.
Yeah.
With a healthy amount of change. Wait, can you name anything in your life that you think is stable?
No, not really, I guess.
Are we mad? Are we depressed?
Have we gone nuts? I'm literally looking around my room like, is my plant stable?
That's what I came out with. Then I came out with my hair. I was like, what do I have?
Literally. Hair? Well, some things are stable, though. Some things are more stable than changing.
Yeah.
Like, for example, my experience of my brain.
Is stable rather than changing.
I constantly, it's always one of my favourite things about me.
Absolutely, but I think it's...
Her mind.
Yeah, honestly, her mind. But this is the thing, it's one of my things that I have always felt positive, brain positivity, let's get it trending.
That's really strange.
Brain
Who are we?
I know, what the hell? But there's nothing about me that's changed more than the development within my thought.
I can't do this today, Seffy, sorry.
Should we cancel the podcast?
Wait, so nothing, hang on, let me get this straight. Nothing has changed more.
Yeah. than the development than within my brain. Yet it is one of the most stable relationships in that it is.
Right.
I've always felt positive, hashtag brain positivity, about my brain.
But that's because the trajectory is quite linear.
But also the ridiculousness of I've thought about my brain. My brain is the thinking thing.
We are bizarre.
It's literally just like, what?
But then I think that's because we've been lucky enough to have a good starting point at kind of 3, like brain development, like as a babies. And then you can't see me, but I'm doing almost quite a Nazi salute with my arm to show the trajectory.
An upwards motion.
Exactly.
Almost on a graph, an upwards graph.
Yeah, of our minds. But that's still stable. Even though it's changing because it's developing, it's still stable. Do you get what I mean? It's not irrational.
Yeah, true. It's stable growth. It's compound interest. You get more every time. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's not so much about changing. Well, initially I wanted to put unstable.
I guess then stable can be moving, but then it's not like volatile as in it. So do you have a volatile relationship with your body? Oh, what was I talking about? Body neutrality.
Yeah.
God, tangent city. Yeah. So I feel like with body positivity, it's almost easier to get to with an objectified body under the male gaze. It's almost easier to get to body positivity and flip your mindset and still see yourself as like an objectified being under patriarchy and be like, okay, now I don't hate my body, but I love my body, rather than remove all sense of objectification and suddenly be neutral, as if it's your brain, as if it's nothing physical. It's just like, I'm just neutral with it. I feel like that is such a difficult place to get to.
Oh, so you think it's easier to get to like kind of a mindless positivity?
Because I think there are symbols of positivity, i.e. Lizzo, I would see as a symbol of body positivity, of flipping the ideal of what's of what's desirable and showing like positivity about her body. Whereas body neutrality, there can be no symbol of it because it's just viewing it as if it is not objective.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's kind of Lady Gaga in a meat dress.
Go on.
It's kind of Lady Gaga in a meat dress. I've got nothing else to say.
Meat dress. Lady Gaga.
2009. Meat dress.
Meat. Dress meat. Lady.
Do you think... Do you get what I mean?
I don't know what you mean. Go on, expand.
Okay, let me get to it as well. We can do this together. Let's see what I mean. Kind of, I start a sentence and I don't know where it's going to go. If body positivity is Lizzo in her little bodysuit performing and being a body that doesn't fit into what largely capitalism deems as conventionally attractive, quote unquote.
But still objectified as well, like still under,
still sexualized.
Yeah,
it's different because it's still objectified, but objectified almost in the art world. When Lady Gaga turns up with a meat dress, it's still an expression of something. It's not necessarily an expression of sexuality, but it's still using her body to fit into some sphere in the world to gain recognition from something.
Yeah, I like it.
So it's in between. So it's not body neutrality. But does body neutrality have to be... there's something about body neutrality that I don't love, because it's almost like, yeah, I am here in this vessel and I don't really want to ignore that.
Well, I am not a practicer, I guess, of body neutrality. I almost see that that would be incredibly hard to reach. I do know some people that I would say are like very neutral with their bodies.
I think it was in the other episode that we did on body image, which is now gone. You said that there was someone in your life that you think is really neutral about their bodies, and they came back to you and said, I think you just think that because I'm not conventionally attractive and I don't put a push on being conventionally attractive or whatever. Still, even body neutrality, me saying Lady Gaga's meat dress is because I don't think it's a sexy thing to do to turn up in a dress made of meat.
Yeah, hashtag vegan life.
Yeah, and it's the same thing of being like, oh my god, you're so confident about your body, like you're so brave wearing those shorts.
Absolutely.
To a fat girl, or being like, oh my god, you just like don't care about your body, you're so like body neutrality, when it's just like, the fuck? I didn't know I was ready to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I completely agree. So I would view this person as very body neutral, because almost there has been an emphasis on, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fucking fuck what I do.
Still, that person in a way fits into the Lady Gaga thing of trying to avert the main stream because they're very artsy. It's the artsy vibe.
Yeah, it's like an artlet.
So in a way it's still objectified and still in a way performative.
It's not sexualizing yourself for the conventional like gaze of mainstream media, but it's kind of sexualizing yourself for the art world, which is a different form of gaze. It's just like, you are now,
yeah, and it's like, oh, it's not the male gaze for all the boys that follow you on Instagram, it's the male gaze for the men in suits who are going to be ticking off your artwork.
Absolutely.
So would you work on more body neutrality?
I think in a utopian society there would be body neutrality, as in that means there is no emphasis politically and like socially on how your body looks. It is just purely your vessel to move through the world, in the same way that your eyes are just vessels to see through. But this is the thing, I think you can have your own relationship, but I think the relationship in society is quite toxic, of it's all based on performance and being smaller, all of that stuff. But personally, I would be more inclined to label myself towards body positivity, because I think that's kind of an easier switch for, if you've grown up feeling kind of shame and guilt around your body, to flip towards a different form of objectification, which allows some empowerment.
One where you benefit.
Yeah, rather than flip towards a neutral stage, which almost seems like, how can you remove yourself from the male gaze when we only exist as that?
Yeah, it's almost kind of don't hate the player, hate the game.
Exactly, yeah. Just flip the game, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, well, this is the situation you've been dealt. You can either capitalise on it too and try and exploit the oppressors and kind of benefit from your own objectification, or reject it, and what do you get then?
Well, I think body neutrality would allow, if you can get there, God, surely that's the happiest place you can be with your body.
I something about it, I'm not sold on it.
As in, you wouldn't want to feel, it's very unthinking though, very unselfconscious.
I wouldn't want to feel neutral about my about anything, but I think I have a problem with neutrality.
I was going to say, we're not very neutral people.
Yeah. Especially something like my body, which is literally how I experience the world, is the only tangible thing I have about me ever. Literally the only thing that I own. Jack! Jack! Sorry, he's singing. That's getting cut. That's going to absolutely rip your ear holes out. Sorry.
That's going at the front. That's going at the top of the body, the very beginning. It goes, Jack, shut the fuck up.
He just texts me, sorry. Trying to think of an idea. Does that mean you have to sing? It just happens. Okay. Yeah, I think this is the only thing I will ever have, my physical body, my skin. If I can't, like, I'm going to try and...
Do you really want to be neutral about your only thing?
Yeah, do I want to be neutral about that? I'm not trying to be a neutral. I'm trying to be, like, fucking in sixth gear my whole life. Like, it's not really... It's the only thing that I have physically. I'm going to try and rinse it for what it's worth, yeah.
I think the thing with body neutrality, though, is the argument is that by being neutral and unselfconscious about your body, it allows you to be in sixth gear, as in it allows you to be focusing on the real things rather than focusing on how you look and how you perform in the world as a woman. It allows you to be being the fucking CEO.
Okay, so something I think this largely fits into then, something that I asked on the podcast was about how often you think about your body and how often body image is on your mind. So I think maybe that's what this is as well with body neutrality, is kind of the absence of consciousness of your body.
Yeah, I think it is that. It's just not always having a microscope, like having a feeling as if there's like a fucking magnifying glass to your body the whole time of like, okay, I need to change this, I need to change this, or even like being unaware of how you show up in space. I feel like with any kind of eating disorder or body dysmorphia, you're constantly aware of how you are showing up, like how you appear. And when you get rid of that, it's just like, okay, now you're free.
Yeah.
Or you can flip it to body positivity where you think that you look amazing in the space. So you can, there are the kind of, which one is more empowering? One, you're working within patriarchy.
I think the two are not mutually exclusive then. I think you can be body positive and that can fit into your body neutrality. As in, you are neutral about your body because, I mean, someone said they think about their body 80% of their day.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And so I think, yeah. And so I think body positivity for some people can be actually your body neutral. Mm. You have a lot of neutrality about your body. You're not forced to think about it all the time. And then you can be body positive. But actually, maybe that only works for people like us who largely fit into society's ideal of what a body should look like. Small, white, young girls. Then I think that's the issue too, because body positivity really isn't for you and I.
Exactly.
It's somebody else's movement. And what, I want to run around saying, oh my God, the only thing I have that's tangible is my body and I love it. Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, of course we do.
Yeah, like no one told you not to love it. Oh, but they did though. They did.
Oh yeah. Every waking moment of every day, but they told us the least of it kind of thing. The body positivity that's available to white women and the body positivity that's available to black women or trans women.
And fat women versus skinny women.
It's huge. Like it's a completely different form of language that's used. Because whilst there's the encouraging women to be smaller, 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 there is the language of just like complete shame.
It is a shame that, I mean, it's more than a shame. Every movement started by a black woman is completely eclipsed by a single white woman who wanted to like show off for a bit, even if she had good intentions. So how do you think then people like us can interact with a movement like the body positivity movement?
I think it's about accepting the fact that if you think that oppression exists on levels, it's about accepting that you are not the most oppressed here because you're a size 12 and you want to be a size 10. That is not, cannot even compare to the oppression faced by a black woman that operates in the world and her body is seen as othered and dangerous and not allowed in certain spaces.
And the world still largely is built for you. Like chairs are built for you. Machines are built for you. Instruments are built for you.
Yeah, a book that I recommended in the other body image episode is Hunger by Roxane Gay, that you need to read if you haven't. We talk about Roxane Gay so much.
She's so, so great.
Beyond words. But Hunger is about her. She's a black woman and it's about her relationship with obesity. It's so complex and so beautifully written and just explains. I read a quote in the other one about Oprah, I remember, about Oprah talking about Weight Watchers, or WW as she's renamed it.
Yeah,
it's just like,
isn't that horrific?
It's bad news.
Should we explain that quickly?
So Weight Watchers, everybody knows Weight Watchers, I assume. It's kind of a like Slimming World kind of essentially cult.
Diet program
where women and men, but predominantly marketed at women, are encouraged to like go on extreme diet, like eating plans, to lose weight essentially. And Oprah bought Weight Watchers and rebranded it as WW to kind of, it's not about weight anymore, it's about health and it's about living your best life.
It's the push towards wellness.
Yeah, it's kind of a wellness Oprah kind of fit. It's Oprah's brand. It's kind of, I'm growing my vegetables in my garden and I am glowing and I'm Oprah and I'm amazing.
Beautiful.
But it's still pushing this horrific message of women, be smaller, take up less space, starve yourselves. So I've just found this quote from Roxane Gay because I realise it's quite ridiculous for me to be saying, in the other episode I talk about this quote, but it's like, actually that episode's gone and we've got many more listeners now.
Doesn't exist.
So this is the quote that I read in the last episode about Oprah and WW. So Roxane Gay writes, in yet another commercial, Oprah somberly says, inside every overweight woman is a woman she knows she can be. This is a popular notion, the idea that the fat among us are carrying a thin woman inside. Each time I see this particular commercial, I think, I ate that thin woman and she was delicious but unsatisfying. And then I think about how fucked up it is to promote that idea that our truest selves are thin women hiding in our fat bodies like imposters, usurpers, illegitimates. Stunning.
Chef's kiss.
Like, beyond amazing.
Chef's fucking kiss.
Honestly, I just think that idea that women, you do know if you just did all of these ridiculous steps, you could be like this woman. And it's like, what is this idea that we're not whole?
Also, the peakest part, I think, is that you're the fat girl, all your friends love you. You lose that weight and you get to your real skinny self, all your friends are going to fucking hate you now.
Genuinely. Yeah, exactly.
We liked you better when you were insecure, you little motherfucker.
And you're still you. You still have all the same problems.
You can't place happiness and success on some otherworldly goal and achievement that you think, once I'm a size 10, I'll be happy. Once I'm a size 8, I'll be happy. Once I have this, I'll be happy. You will never be happy until you're happy with yourself, who you are. Getting quite preachy now.
Do you know what this is? This is just to make it even fucking more cheesy and worse. It's literally Dumbledore saying, it does not do to dwell on dreams and forget to live.
And forget to live.
It literally fucking doesn't. And I know I just fucking quoted Harry Potter.
Harry, Harry, Harry.
It literally is fucking true. You cannot have this figment fucking phantom of an idea that you're chasing. And forget that you're still going to be you inside that body. You can't run away. You can't lose weight your way out of your problems. You're still going to hate yourself.
Everybody's done that as well. Put your happiness in. Well, once I've got this, I'll be happy. And then you get it and you're happy for kind of 6 hours. And then you're like, right, on to the next thing. What next?
I actually just gonna get super personal. But I remember speaking to my therapist about this. And I remember saying, but yeah, I'm coming from a privileged thin position here. But I'm just gonna say something that I said to my therapist. I remember saying, when I'm thin, ridiculous, when I'm thin, I will be so happy. I just need to be thin, then I'm done. And my therapist was like, will you though? What will you be when you are quote unquote thin? What will you be? And I was like, I'll be thin. And she's like, yeah, but what does that mean? I was like, oh, but then I'll be happy and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, no, you won't. You'll be thin. Like that, when you lose weight, you will be thin. That's it. You got there. What do you want now? Oh, well, now I want this. Now I want that as well now. It's true. It's just like you just want everything else. There's no, the target is just ever moving. So it's bullshit, guys.
Constant search for gratification from some thing that is never really about who you are.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with you. And the dream of being thin is not your dream. It's a dream that just someone else gave to you. Someone else wrote that fucking script before you were born. It was already written in you that you're gonna want to be, look like a little child.
You're gonna hate yourself. So what? We're just gonna sit around and hate ourselves, or we're actually gonna try and figure it out? Oh, okay. So one thing I found really interesting, which I cunningly asked you. So I said, your friends' bodies are better than yours, yes or no? 66% of you said yes, my friends' bodies are better than my own.
I thought this was so interesting that you asked this.
And then I asked, if I woke up and I had my best friend's body instead of my own, I would be, and only 46% of you said happier. It was pretty neck and neck for a bit. So 54% of you said that you'd be unhappy. Still 46% of you said you'd be happier if you woke up with your best friend's body. Shall we discuss?
I would love to discuss that. It's a fascinating like way of asking that, really, because my friends' bodies are better than mine. You go, no, they're not, blah, 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 click. But also when you say, I would be happy, or you can go, yeah, yeah, they are. Everyone's bodies are better than mine. But when you made it so personal of your best friend, it's like everyone's picturing a person right now. It kind of flips the whole concept on its head. It's like, oh my God, what, we're switching? 3, 2, 1, body switch. It's like, what's happening?
Meanwhile, you also told me that 79% of you notice and analyze other parts of other people's bodies. You're all aware of your best friend's body. You're all aware of a stranger's body even.
And her body is available for your analysis. Would I rather have that? No, I wouldn't rather have that bit of her. But maybe I'd have her boobs. It's like, what is that? Like, why are we so fragmented in our own understanding of like ourselves and our genuine best friends, like our loved ones? We're like, her body, no, next. Her body, yeah, I'll take it. It's like, what world is this?
Kind of What was that fucking film? Disney Channel original movie. Robot Girl.
Pixel Perfect.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember it.
And who was that guy?
I have no idea. Kind of Chad Michael Murray.
Kind of a classic guy. He's kind of Malcolm in the Middle guy. Let me just Google it. It's defo like a makeup brand now.
It's like the new Tamagotchi.
Oh my God, he's a stud. Oh! He was Phil of the future. Oh, when I said he was a stud, I wasn't concentrating. Anyway.
Look, we were 15. We were younger than 15.
In Pixel Perfect, not even. We were like 10, right?
Yeah, literally way younger.
In Pixel Perfect, this, I think it's the guy, creates the girl of his dreams by taking like Angelina Jolie's fucking eyebrow bone and fucking Christina Aguilera's shoulders and all of this and create and kind of the girl from school's little ears.
Ultimate male gaze. I can't believe this existed.
How crazy is that for a Disney Channel movie?
But it's like, it just shows that we just don't...
You know what it is? Early 2000s.
Yeah, literally. And it just shows that we don't view women as whole beings. We're not like whole, we're not complete.
I can chop you up so easily in my mind.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I want her eyes and her, I'll take her bum. It's like, no, but that's like me. Like, it's so fragmented. It's so weird. So bizarre.
It's also just like, and who do you think you are to analyze the fact that I have ears, eyes and mouth and nose and that you get to decide which ones you like and which ones you don't?
And you're going to cut me apart and create a fucking Frankenstein's monster? No fucking way.
And for who? You'll still be miserable.
Yeah, no, fuck that. No way. That's so bizarre.
It's crazy.
This is just something that just came to me. Me and my friend were having a conversation. This was like years ago, but she was saying that she used to do this thing where she used to think, if I could, this is probably what she was thinking this, and I think some of us probably had similar thoughts. I think it was probably quite a bizarre thing that a lot of us have thought, that if you had a button when you were like sort of 10 years old and you could switch to any body, suddenly you're going to press the button and you get a new body, but you don't know who it's going to be. Like, it's just, you get a new body. And I remember my friend saying that she would press the button. She would switch her body because she would think.
That's like next level self-hatred.
But she would do it because she would think, well, I might get Vanessa Hudgens.
Well, it's kind of anything else is better than me, so I'll
Yeah, but it's
it.
Kind of the, in the...
Come on, well, you may as well just die now then.
But how sad we've done that to 10-year-olds. We've done that to 10-year-old girls. Just anyone but me, press that button.
Well, so I always think now, and this is, I think, largely the problem, is that I think now there's a disconnect. Because, so me, with my consciousness, I'll literally say to Jack, I know I look good, and I know if I looked any other way, I'd be unhappy about it, because I know I've got really, really lucky with the hand that I've been dealt, in the way that hand so proportionately fits with what society would want me to be. And yet, when I look around the room, i.e. when I look at you listening, and I know that you wouldn't say the same about yourself, even though chances are it's true, because I've seen you in your fucking profile pictures and all your little posts with your little cheersing and you just got your degree and all of it. I know who
Wait,
you are.
You're really
you.
Stalking them. What are you doing?
I look at them. And I know that you, same as me, fit into what society wants you to look like. I think it's just so important that somebody like me acknowledges the reality and the privilege of that reality. Because the longer I ignore what everyone's been saying my whole life in order to be, like, quote-unquote humble or self-deprecating, the longer I do a disservice to other women by not acknowledging the privilege that I have. You literally can't scream oppression and suffering when really you are the oppressor. The people like me who will hijack the body positivity movement and be like, no, like, I'm just like perfect. I'm just like not perfect too. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're all the same, blah, blah, blah. The Glossier girl.
Yeah, Glossier girl, yeah.
When the actual Roxanne Gays of the world then don't have the space to run their own movement and have it be taken seriously. Because all of those jobs and those campaigns that were running under the pseudonym of body positivity now get kind of the white girl who took a picture of them slouching with two rolls on their stomach and then them posed with a perfect, quote unquote, perfect bod. When it should have been the fat, black, women that we don't see anywhere near beauty campaigns, fashion campaigns, etc. I think the sooner we can get a grip on what we look like, which is why I think everyone is dysmorphic, to be honest, I think the sooner we can get a grip on the realities of what we look like and how much and how far we can or cannot fit into what society wanted, then we can understand where the body positivity movement and what that needs to actually alleviate these women of their oppression. Because how useful is it for me to be like, when I was younger, I didn't like my fucking elbows. Meanwhile, Roxane Gay can't fit on a fucking plane.
Has to get a seatbelt extender. Like, it's like the world is not made for
you. The world is still set up for you.
But then it's made for us, and we're saying, thing is though, like, I just really don't like my, my eyebrows aren't a good shape. It's like, oh, look, well...
It's like, all right, we'll give it 10 years and they will be.
Genuinely, yeah.
Because the phases are constantly changing. Oh my God, there's an amazing book called Beyond Beautiful by Anoushka Rees, and I'm obsessed with it and I love her, and also The Beauty Myth.
Yes, Naomi Klein, yeah.
Which open up so kind of so clearly, so glaringly obvious how beauty standards change so much. And if you don't fit into them now, you kind of would have in like 1895, and you would do in kind of 50 years time, and all of it is vapid.
I 100% think The Beauty Myth, if you haven't read that, it does the whole thing about it changing is so interesting, because it's like this ideal, it was made and marketed by white men directly for you, knowing that you would pay to look like it. But it's changed throughout history so many times. If you think there are places, it feels unbelievable that there are places in the world where saggy boobs are seen as the ideal. You want big, flopping, saggy boobs. That is what you want. It feels almost laughable, but that's because we have been we've just literally been indoctrinated with marketing towards prepubescent children that's like small, perky boobs, maybe big perky boobs, but they must be high, youthful. That is, will keep our women essentially young and dumb.
Because women can't get over the age of 31.
Let's just keep them basically as stupid as possible because they're as young as possible and uneducated. Let's just keep them children, wax every hair off them.
Keep them tiny.
Yeah. There are places that exist now, and there have been periods in time where things that we would consider ugly were seen as the ideal. And if you were born then, you'd be fucking fighting for that. You'd be like, let me fucking put on as much weight as possible so I look wealthy. And I look like I can afford to eat.
It's the same thing. The goalpost of success and happiness is constantly changing. It's literally not a tangible, it's not a real thing.
It just so happens that you've been born in a time when looking like you don't eat is the fashion.
And also, even within the ideal, it's a massive contradiction because there really is no one perfect body, in that not all men...
Don't tell me those words. Scarring
what
words.
What fits the male gaze. Oh my God, yeah, not all men. But yeah, not all men are unanimous in their vote for what fits with the male gaze. Even if you are quote unquote the perfect body, well, someone else has the quote unquote perfect body and they look completely opposite, and they're functioning right now at the same time. There are a million ideals of beauty running right now, and you probably fit into some of them and you probably don't fit into loads of them. Whatever. You're never going to be what you want because you've already been born. Sorry.
Sorry, yeah.
Like, we already picked. They've already sat in the fucking creator sim and made you, and they didn't put the sliders where you wanted them. Sorry about it. Like, you can do what you want with custom content. You can do what you want with your fucking clothes and your look, but you are who you are.
This is why I think body neutrality is so kind of revolutionary as an idea at this time, though, because it's with body positivity, it's this kind of be happy with who you are, be happy with yourself, and there just is no pressure with that. If you think of your body as something so neutral, there's no pressure. And I think this pressure to be like, be happy with your body, be happy with your body, is like, why? Like, why is there this pressure to be actively happy and amazed with your body? Almost like how I would think about kind of my fingernails. I have very little feelings about them in any way. Like, they're just a part of my body that I have no feelings about them. My nostrils, do you know what I mean? This whole idea that you must be like elated with your body and like so proud of it almost. It's like, can we not just be neutral? Can we not just be like, I don't think about it, I'm busy.
Something that it makes me think of, I love that so much, I completely agree with you. Something that it makes me think of is intuitive eating,
yeah,
quote unquote intuitive eating, in the sense that that is essentially a quote unquote normal and healthy way of eating. Intuitive eating basically is you eat when you're hungry, yeah, and you don't worry too much about what it is, and you're eating relatively like different things every day, and you're getting the nutrients, and you just call it a day, whatevs. You don't feel guilt and shame. There's not much feeling attached to food rather than hunger.
It's not self-conscious. It's not going, oh my God.
The thing that I struggle with intuitive eating to grasp is it is essentially, what I've just described, and should just be everybody's normal eating pattern. So I could put my hand up and say, yeah, I'm an intuitive eater, when really I just have what I've just described, which is really what should be the ideal for everybody. So my thing with body neutrality is I think I largely fit into body neutrality, but that's only because my body is neutral in the way that my body is the default. And so maybe there is a need for body positivity because we need Lizzo, whose body is not neutral and whose body is not the default. Obviously, that's a construct. Her body is neutral. It's what she was born with, whatevs. But society told us that Lizzo's body is not the neutral. And so when somebody like Lizzo can be body positive, it makes room for all of those people who have that body, and even just a body that is subverting the default, to then make way for a kind of free reign over, okay, well, you can be body neutral then, no matter what, no matter if your body is inherently neutral. You can't have body neutrality until everybody's bodies are neutral. And inherently, now in this world, black bodies are not neutral. We've set up a society where fatness is not neutral. So I think we need the liberation, like the actual act of like the empowerment of body positivity to move through and level a playing field. I think a big part of it is I've never, ever had a moment where I've thought, oh, I've gained weight, or, oh, my stomach isn't, I don't have a 24-inch waist anymore. I've physically had a stable body. And so that leaves room for a stable body image, I think.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, this is why I say I've been dealt a strong hand. If I wanted to, I could go and be a fucking bikini model. But I don't want to. But if I wanted to, I could. And I think there's so many girls out there who don't acknowledge that they could, because you've been told that it's cool to be self-deprecating. You're only likable if you hate yourself.
Yeah.
So why is it only okay for me to be told that I look a certain way? When I can just tell you, let's just cut the shit. Enough people have told me. The mirror tells me. The scales tell me. The fucking measuring tape would tell me too. And it all means nothing, because so what? So coincidentally, society will praise me for my waist. Okay, well, I'm also lucky now that big brows are in. But if I was 10 years older, I would have been plucking my brows into oblivion and I wouldn't have fit in that way. It's just coincidence. But I think women need to get to a place where they can be really just get a grip on what they actually look like, because I think there's so much power in it. It's not so much to weaponize your body, but it's almost in the way that your body has been weaponized by white men. You need to go kind of sort of Gryffindor. You need to take it back.
Appropriate.
Take your body back.
It is appropriation. I think that's why I love kind of the body positivity movement, even though I don't really slot myself into it. I love what that's doing for the world, because it is essentially appropriating horrific messaging that we've received our entire lives and flipping it completely on its head, and watching the fucking insecure white boys of the world squirm and go, she's fucking gross, Lizzo's, I don't fucking like to look at cellulite, all of this stuff. Is like, yeah, because you're fucking quaking in your fucking boots.
I don't care about it happening, I just don't want to see it in my face.
Yeah, you're shaking because you find her hot and you're confused.
Or you're upset to see something that you didn't approve.
Yeah.
Taking a spot that you could never have. Owning power that you will never understand.
She didn't need your stamp of approval to start twerking on a stage. And she's doing it, and oh my God, how the crowd is cheering.
I wonder if in a way she did.
Yeah, interesting.
I wonder what Lizzo physically, or I wonder what Lizzo has had to sacrifice.
There's an amazing interview with Lizzo. There are actually two amazing interviews with Lizzo. First of all, that I did an IGTV with her, which is really great. But also the one that I highly recommend is Style Like You. If you know Style Like You, God, I fucking love them so much. Go on their YouTube channel, Style Like You, like a little you.
the letter U.
Back in the day. And they interviewed Lizzo before she was Lizzo. She's wearing like this bright red wig. It's for their What's Underneath project. And she like takes off an item of clothing every time they ask her a question. And the questions are really personal. At the end, they always say like, what's your favorite part of your body? Or something like that. Like one of the questions they ask. And she starts crying because she's like, my skin. And she's never realized that the thing that's most weaponized about her is her favorite thing about her. And then afterwards, she wrote this amazing song called My Skin, which is stunning because she like realized in this interview about her skin, blah, blah, blah. And just this video is so interesting because she talks about when she kind of made the decision to stop dieting and stop trying to lose weight because she was in bed. I mean, I'm just going to recount the interview. She was in bed. She'd slept with this guy that she was seeing. She really liked him. And he was saying, my friends think you would be way fitter if you lost weight because you've got a pretty face. And she was like, fuck, like I'm the smallest I've ever been. I have lost so much weight. I've been dieting, starving myself, and I am the smallest I could possibly be, and it's still not good enough. Like, it will never be good enough what they want, so I'll just be me. And I just think that is the most empowering fucking moment. It's kind of the moment Lizzo became Lizzo, where it's just like, actually, if you don't fit that fucking ideal, they're never gonna accept you. So you might as well fucking flip the ideal on its fucking head, somersault, and just fucking stand on a fucking stage and twerk and make millions and millions of dollars.
This is why I think it's a waste of time for people like me to go, oh, but my, blah, 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 but my blah, blah, blah. The sooner you can be so much more helpful if you just understand all of the ways that you have been quote unquote lucky to just fit in so easily into the world and what everyone wanted you to be and what the men wanted you to be.
But also I think that's the thing of you do slot in, but even when Lizzo was slotting in,
exactly, it's still not good enough.
So I think even as the super privileged white women that we are, that kind of, oh, I think I could lose weight here, or I think I could get my bum more toned or whatever, we need to, on two sides, acknowledge that we exist with immense privilege and it is not our role to be boosting ourselves up in this situation, but also acknowledging that we have been conditioned to
hate yourself,
conditioned by lots and lots of essentially a lifetime of like patriarchal messaging that has told us, yeah, but you're still not good enough. Even though you fit, you're not good enough. Like you're still fucking ugly, still men don't want to fuck you, like, but you should always want them to, like all of this stuff.
Happiness isn't external.
No,
the more you keep feeding yourself with external validation, you'll be absolutely starving. It's not happiness and confidence doesn't come from actually physically what you look like.
But then still I speak to people and they're like, oh yeah, I'm counting calories and things like this, and it's like, god, like we're utterly miles off. I'm speaking now, am I?
Yeah.
God, every time after we take a break, we've just got to stop taking breaks. I'm like, what? You just point at me like, you go. I'm like,
give
what?
You a nod.
Okay, so I think we're going to wrap this up. I think body image is such a fucking huge subject that kind of also everyone has an opinion because everyone has a body. Like, it's not as if, unless we have some sort of astral projecting souls involved.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're listening from the void.
Welcome from the void.
But it's kind of like, oh yeah, when we talk about breakups or something, it's like, not everyone can relate, but this is like, pretty sure you have a body and pretty sure you have a complex relationship with it. So, or some kind of relationship.
Your body will fit in somewhere, yeah.
Thanks for listening, as usual. You said you were gonna say something funny.
Thanks for all your beautiful messages. I was getting into it. It was not funny, but
I'm like,
I was gonna
on.
Say it because
go
I was on. Gonna say it to you. Tell your joke.
Knock knock.
It's not funny, but I was gonna say when we weren't recording, and I thought, oh, quite nice for you guys to know as well. I actually listened to the podcast the other day.
Oh my
Can
god!
Can you believe it?
Erin doesn't fucking listen. I find it fucking rude.
I don't really listen to them because it makes me kind of ill. But then I thought, you know what? People seem to like this podcast, so I'm going to listen to it. And I thought, yeah, it's actually a fucking good podcast.
Which one did you listen to?
The last one that we did.
Glow Ups. Nice.
Glow Ups. Nice. Yes. Yeah. And I was like, this is good.
I completely feel you, though, because I edit them and I honestly sit there. I mean, the hours it takes to edit, but I sit there thinking, fucking hell, we're morons. Like,
yeah, it's bad.
Our voices are unbearable.
Well, this is why I didn't like it. When I edited them, I was like, this is a chore.
Well, it is, yeah, because you're cutting out every and.
Yeah. But I was really impressed.
Also, we do this really annoying thing, which I edit out. You guys won't know that we do this annoying thing, or unless I've missed some. But before we start speaking, we go, and it's like, oh, every cut, every time. It's like, and I'm listening to each one. It's like the worst ASMR video of all time. It's like, oh God, like cutting us, our voices. It's awful. So we do an annoying thing that you guys don't, are not aware of. Fun fact.
Hopefully don't know about. Thank you so, so much for all of your messages as usual. Like all of your interesting insight into body image. We'll definitely touch on more, hopefully, if we do another episode on this. I would love to do an episode on, I think we said this, but I'd love to do an episode on like surgery, like plastic surgery and shit like that.
I would love to.
Because some of you mentioned things like that. I just, so you all have such interesting stories. It's like, God, we could literally spend 2 hours. I mean, not even. We could spend all day literally reading out your stories. They're so interesting.
We never really struggle for topics because it's literally like there's so much going on in the world. Like, God, the world is big. Like, there's so much going on that it's like,
yeah,
I can't
move for topics.
Stop talking. Like, how do we pick one thing? So, but keep sending us your stuff because fucking hell, I love to see your ideas. Thank you everyone for listening. We'll leave us a review. We've been getting some reviews and it's really fun. Some.
Oh, it's so heartwarming.
It's honestly so heartwarming to get those Apple reviews. So go over to Apple. Even if you're on Spotify, I know you're fucking listening on Spotify right now, but go over to Apple.com, the app. You know the app store. You have
Apple
an app
Podcasts.
Store, yes. Go there, type in High Priestess, down the bottom, 5-star review, and then just write us a little thing saying
5-star review.
5 stars, unless you, I'll leave the rating up to you, but I would say 5-star podcast. Leave us a little thing, just write these words: so amazing, would highly recommend. Send that in. If someone does that now, I'll die.
I would actually love to know, even if you don't review, I would love to know what it is you like about the podcast, because you're always like, oh, I love the podcast. I'm like, why? Like, I would love to know why. What is it?
Well, there was a funny time me and you had a conversation where I was like, yeah, because it's like a comedy podcast. And you were like, no, it's not a comedy. And I was like, yeah, no, it's like a funny thing. Like, they listen and laugh. And you're like, I don't think they do.
I don't think people are laughing. At the time, people weren't really laughing.
And I had like a bit of a crisis where I was like, oh, wait, I've been viewing this as like, ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah, it's like, as a stand-up.
No, it's not. It's like hard advice.
Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. Off we go.
Stick around. See you next week.
See you next week. Can't wait for all your amazing reviews.
Bye.
Right, bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.